this is a first. Now, for anyone who's listened to this show over the last few years, you would know that, Fev, despite our wonderful friendship, we have different interests. I have to deal with a lot of basketball chat off air. You have to deal with a lot of Kardashian chat off air.
Our world.
I was just going to say, our worlds have collided.
Ready for this.
Again, another Kardashian basketball relationship.
Yes, so I'll give it to you now. These are the Kardashians and Kendalls because they're all together. There's been Rick Fox, Khloe. There's been Lamar Odom, Khloe. Kim Kardashian's gone out with Humphries. Got married to him.
Yes.
James Harden, Khloe. Tristan Thompson, Khloe. Kendall, Blake Griffin. Jordan Clarkson, Kendall. Rashad, Khloe. Chandler Parsons, Khloe. Now, Kendall Jenner is going out with Philadelphia 76ers.
Ben Simmons.
They've got a type, don't they?
Now, this is a great story because Ben's also Australian. He's one of us.
That's 10 B-ballers.
He's doing great stuff over there, Ben Simmons.
That's a franchise.
Rumours are circulating.
It's a team.
It's yet to be confirmed. I'll just go through the story. So they're yet to be confirmed. He was recently dating Tinashe.
Tinashe. Very white.
Okay. Well, hang on. That's racist.
No, it's not.
Can't call me that.
So am I.
Tinashe dumped her, moved on to Kendall Jenner.
Why he dumped her?
Why?
Because he said she sets up pap shots and she's too Kardashian-like. Well, why not just go to the next best thing? Go out with one.
Straight on to Kendall. And I'm going to say, I'm calling it. I reckon Kendall's the best. No foot wrong for me at the moment. I just love Kendall.
That's why she's going out with an Aussie.
Yes. And this will be great. And he'll bring her home because he's from, grew up in Fitzroy.
Yeah.
We'll have Kendall
Box Hill.
Here down on Brunswick Street.
Imagine they're getting down, doing some chap laps.
Yeah.
Be amazing.
It is fascinating, though. Like That's one thing I was going to say. That the Kardashians, the way they've all gone for men in the same industry. When you think about it, that's phenomenal. Like you often have one member of the family maybe having a type. Like for instance, I was going to say in your family.
Mate, the Favolas. Alex is a footballer.
Footballers are a thing.
Mia's going out with a footballer.
Exactly.
Look out whoever's 12 now for Lenny.
Oh.
She's a, hey, if Lulu, if they marry footballers, oh my God. I could have my own team.
But this could be a bit of fun.
When they have kids.
13-10-60. Does your family have a type? Like you often hear about individuals having a type. Like, some people have a type. But can you actually say your family have a type? Because to have clocked up nine basketballers between those girls, I think that's sort of unheard of stuff.
Fief, what might be a real world example of a family having a type?
Just nurses? Cops?
Tradies?
Right.
Tradies?
Doctors?
What's your type?
So siblings that all go out with someone.
All go in the same industry.
Right. Okay.
Courtney must have missed that memo. Because she hasn't dated a basketballer. She was with Scott.
Courtney does. She stands out for me.
Yeah.
She's just
different.
A bit different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like her.
13,
yeah. 10, me too. She's my favourite.
60 is the number. Give us a call.
Kylie's into singers.
Yeah, she's into
Tigger,
singers.
Tigger.
Tiger.
And our new mate. What's his name?
Can you get all their names
Travis,
right?
Travis.
Okay. Travis Scott. Cool. 13,
that's
10.
That's a bit normal.
Well, no, he's not normal if you met him. Anyway, 13, 10, 60 is the number. Does your family have a type?
101.9 The Fox.
Just fall for someone new.
No.
Instead of basketballs.
Fall for the same guy every time. Kardashians love a basketballer. Kendall Jenner is rumoured to be dating Ben Simmons. Australian basketball doing great things over there in the States. And that's for her independently. Isn't that about four? She's had quite a few.
Khloe's had the most.
Yeah, Khloe loves. Yeah. Since Lamar.
Yeah, she loves.
She never able to move on to anyone else. But it's one thing when you've got a type. It's another thing when the family has a type. So we've said 13, 10, 60. Does your family have a type? We've got Eleni and Wallert. Hi, Eleni.
Hello.
Eleni, what's going on in your family?
So my family, there's four of us, and we're all with plumbers.
That's great. Is it coincidence, Eleni, or it's the industry that you find particularly attractive?
Honestly, it's probably coincidental, but in all honesty, at least now we know. We never have a problem with our toilets.
There you go. There's the lurks and perks, isn't it?
Never. Your parents would be wrapped with that too.
Good stuff.
Stacey, how are you?
Kenny.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Stace. What are your family into?
They're all into Alex's.
Yeah, so really? Am I.
How many Alexes have you clocked up?
Five within the last 3 or 4 years.
Talk us through it. Is this your siblings are dating Alexes?
One of mine is. I'm dating an Alex. My partner's an Alex. My auntie's boyfriend's Alex. My cousin's girlfriend's Alex.
Do you have like an Alex 1, Alex 2? Or do you just, when you're all sitting around having dinner, Alex, pass the sugar.
Oh, salt. We all just look like, oh, God, like we're in the room and we'll be like, hey, Alex. They all look at you.
Like, you have to get some nicknames or something. You've got to get around this somehow. This is a problem.
That's amazing.
Izzy in South Yarra. Hi, Izzy.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. Izzy, do you have a Kardashian trend in your family?
Yes, I do. So my mother, my two aunties, they all marry tradies and all of their names are Tony. So we go by Small Tony, Fat Tony and...
Fat Tony.
And we have our winner. It's 22 past 8. Oh, Wes?
Sorry?
Oh, you left us on such a high and then, yes, was there more to it? Because it's already pretty good.
That's about it.
Cool. Glad we checked. It's the Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
We are on this show big advocates of anyone who works in emergency services, lots of people who work for our community, and the police. We love our cops, and a big shout out to them if they're listening right now, doing a wonderful job putting themselves on the line every day and returning to their families at night safe, and that's what we want for our cops.
Yes.
Unfortunately, though, this isn't fun.
But.
I know, it's got a bit of a but. An internal report has revealed that Victorian police officers have faked more than 250,000 random preliminary roadside breath tests over 5 years.
Ooh.
So the report claims that 1.5% of the 17.7 million tests were falsified.
Is that
by
to get
officers.
Their quota up, Boxy?
Yeah, and this is the bit where we come back in to defend the boys and girls out there. I think that the only way of explaining this is to highlight the productivity and maybe the targets that are being set that may or may not be unreasonable, because we don't have that information at hand, unfortunately. But it seems the only reason you would fake doing so, and when we say fake, that means maybe blowing into them themselves.
Imagine
so instead
that.
Of stopping people, they're standing
How
there.
How stuffed would they be if one of the coppers blew into one and they went beep, 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 beep.
Oh, hang on. So they're just racking up, some stats. So I'll just quickly blow in. There's 10 more tests.
But this is an interesting one because a lot of companies and industries, and particularly
parking fine people,
there we
this.
Go, within government and council, they have targets. And I've often said this about parking inspectors. If they don't get, and when we've interviewed parking inspectors over the years because they get such a bad rap, they have a quota. Now, if anyone has a job that has a quota or a target they've got to reach, I think that's undue pressure. I couldn't work in that environment. I mean, luckily we don't have targets every day. The stress would kill me. But
car sales people have to hit their targets too. They don't have to sell them certain amount of cars
I'm
in the
sure
month
they do.
Like
I think people work in sales. Hey, I tip my hat to them.
Yes.
I don't know how they do to handle that pressure. But I guess that's the only way to explain this away. So maybe there's a question mark over what are the targets or the quotas that cops are having to achieve, and maybe they're unrealistic.
I brought this up with you earlier, Boxy, on the couch in our meeting, and I said that where I live, there's a certain booze bus that sits there like on a Monday or Tuesday morning, Wednesday, probably once a week. And it's like at 9:30 in the morning. And I'm like, they never, ever have anyone. I'm like, they must just do that to get their quota up. Like, just so they're breath testing. They might catch someone. They're doing their job. But very rarely will they get someone where I live at 9:45 to 10 in the morning blowing in the bag.
So you're suggesting maybe they're
Or maybe they've got trainees and they're trying to teach them how to do it. But they're in the same spot every single week.
See, I think another example of this is speed cameras. I think quotas are wrong because I remember when I lived in Wonga Park, and Jumping Creek Road has this big dip where you've got to go down.
There's no better road better than
Jumping Creek
Road.
Road in Wonga Park.
A lot happens there.
There does. But
not much happens there, actually.
Like
I remember when I was living there was a dip, there was a hill, and you'd go down and honestly, it was almost physically impossible to go 60. That's
right.
The speed limit.
Yeah.
But you'd almost have to put your foot flat on the brake to go 60. But there was always a speed camera at the bottom of the hill. And I remember thinking, your job is to catch dangerous drivers. That speed camera is just that's just earning revenue.
Yep.
Like that is just getting in cash because it's not that dangerous. It's not a dangerous stretch of road and you know it's impossible. And there, see, that's the problem. I think when you get those quotas and targets, then, you know, people who are having to achieve them, in this instance, it's obviously police officers who are, you know, under the spotlight here, but then they're having to do things to reach those that aren't necessarily in the best interest of the community. Anyway, we did think, sorry, gone off on a rant there.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
This 13, 10, 60.
Well, I thought, Fev, what if we said, now we've got a voice disguiser and we're going to use it, guys. We're going to use that. We'll give you aliases. Maybe you're in a job, not, and we're not just speaking to police officers, obviously, but maybe whatever your job is, you've got a quota. How are you getting around the quota? Because I will put my hand up now. I've told this story many times. I'll just say it quickly. When I worked at a very, very reputable government body.
I'm surprised you'd bring this up
again. I know. I don't know why I do this all the time. The ATO, who do a wonderful job, by the way. What wonderful things they do with taxes. But I was in the call centre and I had to have so many calls in a period. You know, at the end of my shift, I had to have achieved so many calls.
Just
so,
get your mates to ring up.
Well, no, I was just disconnecting calls because that was the only way I could get my quota up.
13, 10, 60.
So whatever your industry, how are you fudging your target and quota?
101.9 The Fox.
We're talking about this internal report that says Victorian police have faked more than 250,000 breath tests over a period of 5 years. Now, there's yet to be an explanation for why that would be happening. And the only one that people are assuming is because of the high, it highlights the productivity and maybe the quotas and the expectation, the targets that are being set. And we thought, well, a lot of jobs and workplaces have these targets and they sometimes are unrealistic. And, you know, maybe that's in this instance.
They fluff them.
The cops have decided, well, how long do we have to stand by the roadside? Like there's not that many cars coming through. Mm. Who knows? I'm not making excuses, but sometimes there are reasons and maybe you've found ways of getting around a target or a quota. And we've offered our voice disguiser. We're giving people aliases. So we've got, this is Kate. Not Kate, from Blackburn. You're on The Voice Disguiser. Hi, Kate.
Well, she doesn't need it. She,
hi, how are you going?
The next caller asked for a voice disguiser.
Oh, right. This is just a fake name.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Kate, where do you work and how do you get around your target?
Okay, so I'm a teacher and we have a target. It's called 12 months. It's 12 in 12. It's 12 months growth in over 12 months for the kids and their academic results, mainly in maths and literacy because it's easier to do. To record. Our biggest problem is that some of the educators are starting to mark the kids at level and saying they've had that growth when they actually haven't. Lots of variables will, you know, that happens because of lots of variables, don't get me wrong, but the parents are actually the most stressful part of that because if you're marking a child down, the conversations and the constant emails, messages and things like that
creating
can really
play havoc.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I've often wondered about that, Kate, because I know there are schools that have, they, apologies, I got a bit of a cough this morning. They've got targets and they need to, they want to be on the list of, you know, the top schools for results at the end
absolutely.
Of year 12. And I've heard that there are ways of getting children either removed, put in different classes, grouping together the smart kids so you get better results at the end of the year.
Wish that was around when I was at school.
It's nice to say me too. I'm actually a mature age student, teacher. I've only been teaching a few years and thank goodness because I wouldn't have been mature enough as a teacher, as a young teacher, to have handled what they are, the pressure they're put under. I think it's not from everything, but I think, you know, we can be kind to ourselves too and great colleagues help, so that's good.
Yeah, good just great teachers. That's all we need. Get rid of targets. Wow.
An incentive to actually mark them up because it's too much work to mark them down.
Well, soon they won't be able to get marks because they'll be differentiating between the smarts and the not-so-smarts and the other kids. Oh, just everyone's equal.
No losers here.
No losers here.
101.9 The Fox.
Judged, marginalised and misunderstood. The uncomfortable questions you've always wanted the answers to. No questions are off limits. Fifi Fev and Byron's Do You Mind If I Ask?
That's right. And in the studio this morning, in the hot seat, to be asked anything, the things that maybe you wouldn't feel comfortable walking up off the street asking, we have a former SAS soldier in the studio. Dave Farrell. Dave, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me here.
Now, Dave, just to put you in context, you served in the Australian Army in its most elite unit, SAS, the Special Air Service Regiment, for over 17 years, six operational tours. You did a tour of Afghanistan, East Timor, Iraq, various other countries, obviously. SAS, full on what you've lived through, we can imagine.
Yep.
Now you're sitting here and you're going to let us ask some questions.
Yep, feel free.
And thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
You know, you've lived a life, Dave, that we can't imagine what you've lived through. And I'm going to ask a question that I hope is not too confronting, but have you ever genuinely feared for your life?
Yeah, I have. I have, to answer your question simply. Yeah, I have feared for my life on quite a number of occasions, but never, like in the movies, held hostage with a gun to my head or anything like that. But certainly probably on my first tour of Afghanistan in 2005, the first time we got engaged by the enemy, that was like quite a fearful experience
for everyone. Like you're in warfare.
Yeah, in very heavy combat. So we were basically getting surrounded by the enemy, and it was pretty frightening for about, I think everyone felt it for about three or five seconds, and then we just got on with our job and did what we're paid to do.
Wow.
What's the come down?
I was right into that.
I know, but because what's the come down from that? Because this is the thing, and it leads to my next question, really. So when you've lived through that, and then you come home, and now you've obviously retired from service.
Yes.
Go to the bakery, order a pie.
Go and order milk and, you know, go to the groceries. What's that transition like from fearing for your life in heavy combat to then just being a normal guy back in Melbourne?
Yeah, I think the transition period started for me on my fourth tour of Afghanistan. I decided that I didn't want to be in the army long term anymore after that. I still did go back for another two tours, which was a bit crazy in itself. But I decided I didn't want to. And since leaving the Defence Force in 2016, I've tried quite a few different things. And it's not that I haven't been successful in them. I just haven't found something that suited me until fairly recently.
The adrenaline of going over there and being involved in combat would be a lot different than going, say, oh, I just want to work at Coles. You can't. It's totally different.
Totally different,
You're probably someone that needs the buzz because you were a bit of a rat bag as a kid.
I was a rat bag, yes.
So you need that. You probably need that excitement.
I think I do. I love working with people and I love being part of a team, so...
And how did you feel once you had kids? You got three kids.
I do, yes.
And when you're going over there in combat, going in trucks and there might be booby traps everywhere that could blow you up, did that make you stop having kids?
No. It was probably in 2010. I was in a real quite a sticky situation and I was actually thinking to myself, maybe I should seriously look at another job right now. I've got a couple of kids and... things weren't looking real good at that moment in time.
Now, we're about to throw to a song, and after that, we have said 131060. If there's anything you would like to ask Dave, a former SAS soldier, nothing's off limits. Ask Dave whatever you would like. I just want to ask, it's a frivolous question, but I have to ask it. How cool is it saying to people, I'm an SAS soldier? That is a great job.
It's pretty cool. I don't often tell people. I just let it go. Yeah.
Imagine him walking up to you and you go, "G'day, mate." And you go, "What do you do?" I say, "There you go, bro.
Got
you
want a beer?"
You're not single, but adding that on a Tinder profile.
Dave Farrell is here and your questions are next. Do you mind if I ask when nothing is off limits? It rolls on.
101.9 The Fox.
Judged, marginalised and misunderstood. The uncomfortable questions you've always wanted the answers to. No questions are off limits. Fifi Fevan Byron's Do You Mind If I Ask?
We're joined in the studio for Do You Mind If I Ask? And we've got Dave Farrell, and a former SAS soldier who has agreed to be asked anything about what he's lived through as an SAS soldier. We've been picking your brain during that song. I mean, Dave, so many things that people want to know. But we have opened the phone lines. We've got Cassie from Rosebud. Hi, Cassie.
Hi.
Cassie, what would you like to ask Dave?
I was just wondering, Dave, if you suffer from PTSD, if you do, how does that affect you?
G'day, Cassie. Good question. The answer is no, I don't. I don't have PTSD. Unfortunately, it is something that's a little bit common in the Defence Force for people that have left, but no, I don't suffer from
post-traumatic stress disorder.
Correct, yes. Right. Yeah, no, I don't have any PTSD.
Are there things you've just to jump on the end of Cassie's question, though, are there things you've seen and experienced that must have been horrific on many levels?
Yep.
Where do you put that?
I don't know. I think I compartmentalise it and put it in a part of my brain that's just locked away. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to affect me.
Yeah. Well,
Thank you, Cassie, for your question.
Do you think it's a good place to be for kids now growing up, you know, everyone wants to be doctors, to go serve for your country over there? Do you think they're actually doing something over there in Afghanistan, in Iraq? Do you think there's a purpose?
Oh, 100%, yeah. And for me, serving in the Defence Force gave me a real sense of direction and purpose in my life. I was a bit of a rat bag as a kid growing up, so you know, that put me on the straight and narrow, so to speak.
I often think I should have been in the army.
Yeah,
you would have done all right. Just to straighten me out a little bit. Yeah. Oh, I would have been.
It's never too late.
I would have been a general.
Nicole, we have our former SAS soldier Dave with us. What would you like to ask Dave?
Is the army or war portrayed accurately in movies?
Ah, that's a good question. Good question.
The army portrayed accurately
in
movies.
So when we watch Homeland, do you watch it and go, nah, that's not
I haven't actually seen Homeland, but from the movies I have seen, it's not very accurately portrayed. The army is a lot of, it's 99% sitting around doing nothing and 1% full on action.
What's the food like?
These are the hard hitting questions.
This is the tough stuff.
Yeah.
Well, for us in the Special Forces, the food was, when we were in base, it was exceptional.
Of course it was. You're in the Special Forces. Mate,
Forrest Gump loved it. He got shot in the bum and ate ice cream.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, have you ever been shot?
Oh, I haven't been shot, no. I've been very lucky. I've got all my fingers and toes.
Yeah.
I've driven over improvised explosive devices. Jeez. I've been shot.
Oh, you drove over an explosive and nothing happened?
Well, it only partially detonated because it was fairly old. I've been involved in, I've been shot at with machine guns, small arms, rocket-propelled grenades.
You're Jason Bourne.
No, not Jason Bourne, but so, I'm very lucky.
Further to Nicole's question, do all the bombs have, like, ticking displays that go down from 10 to 1?
No,
they don't. Who would have known that?
No, most of them are very rudimentary.
They always cut them at 1 second. It's amazing. Yeah. No movies.
They cut the red wire.
Yeah.
How cool is it to drive a tank?
I've never driven a tank.
We're like kids.
Never driven a tank.
Thief's got plenty more, and we'll get Thief asking those off air. Look, he's been a great sport, Thief, and for more info on Dave and what he's involved in, you can head to veteransinconstruction.com.au. That's veteransinconstruction.com.au for more info on what you're up to now, mate.
Well, so nice to meet you. And as Byron said at the start, thank you for your service and thank you so much for coming in here and letting us ask these really personal questions.
No problems. Thanks for having me.
You look great with a beard too.
Yeah. Well, maybe I should have kept it.
Yeah, well, you look scary.
I'm trying to soften my image.
101.9 The Fox. I say this delicately because, you know, kids are great. Don't get me wrong. Kids are cute. They're wonderful. We all love them. Sometimes they can be creepy, like a little bit creepy. Now, an example of this is a little girl who's blown up on the internet. She's only 3. Her name's Ruby.
Would you like creepy music?
Yeah, can I?
Sure.
Have you got some? Great. Now, she has drawn a picture of her imaginary friend and
Fred?
No, it doesn't have a name, actually. It's interesting.
Try and make it creepy, mate.
Drop Dead Fred. Mate, he was creepy.
Yes.
Great show.
Now, the parent has written down all the things the little girl said about her imaginary friend, and I'm going to read it to you.
His name Chucky?
No, it doesn't have a name. Okay, so this is the little kid's description of her imaginary friend. Her yellow eyelashes mean she can see in the dark. She only comes to see me at night time. It scares me sometimes, but I always want her to come back. She has 2 babies in her belly.
Wow.
She's 14. Well, that's not right.
That's okay. That's
not right. I should have read that.
Pre-read it.
I didn't read that bit. Hang on. I'll just
major
edit on the run.
Problem.
But she can never have a birthday. Honestly, if my 3-year-old had come to me and said that about a drawing, that would scare me. That's
I think
scary.
Her parents have been watching Stranger Things.
Do you know, it reminds me, Bev, with Trixie. I remember when Trixie was about 18 months old and our mate Dave Thornton, he was at the, came over and we were sitting on the couch. And
she's even Diggity got an invite to your house.
Yeah, he's been there a few times.
Wow.
I've lived there for a while too.
Anyway, so you're coming, you'll get there eventually. Now, Dave had his phone just down on the couch.
Oh, this is right.
It's a good story. Anyway, Trixie's just picked up his phone. She was not even 2 yet. She's put her phone in front of him and on it, the phone had Googled Trixie Bell Box.
What?
And it was, he looked at the phone and went, like this baby. And we think, look, to take the creepiness out of it, the only thing we thought might have happened was Siri had heard him, he kept saying Trixie Bell Box.
Well, that's what happened.
Trixie Bell
Box. I just think the fact is that your kid is very smart.
Thank you.
And it comes from you, so obviously it's a switched on kid at two and knows how to work a phone. That's not creepy at all.
That's just genetics.
Very smart. It's genetics. Yeah,
I like that. We're back. Now, 131060, call now with stories about your creepy kids, other creepy kids, creepy things kids do say. Or just are.
We'll take your calls next.
1019 The Fox.
We're talking creepy kids because a little kid has blown up on the internet, a little three-year-old Ruby. She's gorgeous, but she's got an imaginary friend. She drew a picture of it, and her parents have written down what she said about her imaginary friend. I'll just fast forward to some of the highlights. What have
Can
we got here?
Can you take out that bit about...
No, that's the best bit.
Okay.
She said... This is my friend.
Two babies.
It scares me sometimes, but I always want her to come back. She has two babies in her belly. I'm not going to say her age again, but she can never have a birthday.
Jeez,
just like
creepy.
Weird stuff that kids say or do. And look, don't get me wrong, they're gorgeous, and we're not discriminating against kids in this segment. Mm. But sometimes they're a tiny bit creepy. Janine in Caroline Springs. Hi, Janine.
Hi, guys.
Janine, is this your creepy kid?
Yeah, she's just creepy in general, but she's lovely. I love her, and I love that she's creepy. But she was about 10, and it was Earth Hour, and so we had everything off, and we weren't telling scary stories. We were just playing board games, and all of a sudden she said, I've got a friend, and she lives in the drain. Her name's Charlotte, and she can't breathe.
Oh, why can't she breathe?
I don't know, because I didn't really want to ask, because I was so scared. I don't think I slept very well that night, and she's 15 now, and she still swears to me that she did not make the story up, and that when she used to play in the field, there was like a big open mouth drain, so you know she could fit in it, and she used to play around there when I was outside, and that's where she lived apparently.
Reminds me of like Patricia Arquette in Medium. Like there might have been a dead body in that drain. And your daughter's psychic, Janine.
Look, I know that's awful. I maybe should have investigated, but I'm just so scared.
That is really
Let's go and find it. Our show should go and find it.
Yeah, where is that park?
It's creepy.
Okay.
Hold the line.
Let's go to Toowoomba again.
Dale, remember that? Dale in Rye. Hi, Dale.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, great, Dale. Talk us through a creepy child, you know.
So we moved into my wife's beach house down in Rye about 7 years ago, and it was my wife's grandfather's favourite place ever. And anyway, when my daughter was about two, she looked out the front window and said, "Who's that man up there?" And there was a man standing up on the embankment of our front yard, and obviously we couldn't see anyone there, and she described him to a T.
Wow.
He passed away... Well, probably about 6 years before she was born. She'd never seen a picture. I've never met him myself. But yeah, she was adamant that he was there, and the way she described him was spot on.
Do you reckon ghosts are real?
Creepy. I personally don't, but I love Dale's story.
Yeah,
I
think
it is, Dale. And by the way, that haunted house, we took the whole show to Toowoomba, allegedly Australia's most haunted house. There was nothing. It was the least scary thing.
Do you remember what the ghost
called you? Do you remember the radio said to you?
That was not what the ghost said to me.
He did.
That's the worst word in the English language.
I know, and he called you that. Now we've got, our good mate Wendy in Wyndham Vale. Hi, Wendy.
Regular
call. Hello, how are you?
Great, Wendy. I think we've had you on every day this week. Yeah. Wendy, tell us.
I'm pretty bored driving in the traffic.
Love having you on, Wendy.
Hands free.
You've got a creepy kid that you know of.
Yeah, not only has my daughter seen a ghost, but I've seen a ghost too. But
more about kids.
My kids. My daughter was 8 years old. I live in an old settlement house on the farm, you know. And she's in her bed. She came up to me one day and she goes, "Oh, Mum, I'm really scared." I said, well, what's wrong? She goes, there was a man with a briefcase and a black cat, and he asked me to help him. I'm like, okay, next time he asks you for help, just ask him what you want him to do.
Did you say, hey, Dale, just go to bed. Mum's busy with a gardener?
Oh, don't bring up the sexy gardener.
Oh, I didn't know my sexy gardener then.
How's the gardener going, Wendy?
Okay.
Oh, he's pretty busy.
I'm sure he is.
Do you want to hear my freaky story? I was 16. I was like...
No.
101.9 The Fox.
So on Monday we had our baby scan, which was great. So you got to see the baby 3D and all the 4D.
How was the 4D photo?
The 4D, freaky. But it's all formed. It's a beautiful little baby,
it's a baby
girl. And then on the Tuesday we went go in and see the obstetrician. So you get your due date when you're going to go in. You book your...
Oh, because you're booking the Caesar.
Yeah, because Alex is having a Caesar. So the due date's the 7th of December, but then you've got to go 10 days back because they like to give it. Yeah,
two,
so
right, 2 weeks
out. Our obstetrician had booked in a date. So we were in at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, and it fell on a date it's a big date now in our household, in our family.
Mm.
And I just thought I'd, we'll say it on air, but I wanted to get my brother on the line. Jace, are you there?
Morning.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
What's happening?
No, not much. Just, you know, Jason's got four beautiful girls under 8, and obviously I'm going to have my fourth girl.
Look at you with your netball team.
I know, we've got a little netball team. We've got perfume balls, all of us. Oh. Got girls everywhere. And we just thought we'd let you know, Jace, that we've got the due date for our little baby girl, which is exciting.
Are you on the line, Jace? You've got a horrific phone. Are you even on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
it's
good.
On the 28th of November.
Sorry, you cut out then. What was that, mate?
28th of November is the due date for the baby girl.
That's my birthday.
Yeah, it's your birthday. Or it's going to be her birthday.
It was one of those poo radio gags, isn't it?
No.
Just to get a reaction out of me.
No, we're booked in on the 28th, so your birthday is going to be overshadowed by the new baby for Viola.
Isn't Alex having a C-section?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, that's what happens. You choose the date, mate.
Oh, thanks, Greg. I didn't know that. So couldn't Alex just let it cook for one more day or just bring it a day earlier?
Oh, we did have the option, but I thought the 28th was a much better date.
Of course you did.
Jace, I know when I had my Caesar, I could pick the day.
Yeah, we picked it, yeah.
Fev, you can pick another day so Jace can have his birthday.
No.
He's 100% set this up. He's just like... Yeah, let's just go with this date and just...
Oh, Jace, that's never going to happen. His birthday again.
His birthday's finished.
Jokes aside, that's really, that's horrible.
No, I'm over 30 now, so it's finished a long time. So I don't care about birthdays.
So you're all right with sharing a birthday with our baby girl? It'll all be about her.
No, it's a great day. Another for Lola and the family. It's a day that you brought in another girl to the family.
Oh, Jace, you're very magnanimous. You really are. He's a wonderful brother, your brother. He puts up with a lot.
That's great. I got all the footy skill, the looks, and now I'm not a baby girl.
Okay.
Poor Jace.
And
there you claim my birthday.
Yeah.
101.9 The Fox.
I know when that hotline ring. Yeah. That can only mean one thing. It's called Hotline Ring. Okay. We need you to sing the next line.
That's it. The phone rings, you answer it, and you sing the next line. Now, Fev and I, we muck around, we stay back on a Wednesday after the show, and we ring numbers. Now, people are registering at fox.com.au because lots of people have said, hey, I want to do that thing where I have to sing the lyrics. So now we're ringing random people and also people who have signed up for it. And this week, on the back of the rumour, and what a cracking rumour if this is true, that John Bon Jovi is going to perform at the AFL Grand Final.
Huge.
I mean, that is so huge. That will be amazing. If that is in fact true, we're wrapped, and we thought we would celebrate that by playing a Bon Jovi song and getting people to complete the lyrics.
Hello, David speaking. Hello. We'll give it a shot. Hello. We'll
give it a shot. That's Fox FM. You gotta sing it.
Whoa.
We'll
give it a shot. Whoa. Living on a prayer. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Every time I say hello, this is singing Bon Jovi. Okay. I don't know what the f*** is going on. Hello? They keep replaying the same I swear to God, this is like a radio station. They're calling. I could have win like $500,000. I just need to sing the song.
Hello. 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 Oh, we're halfway there. Hello.
1019 The Fox.
Politics in the States, the United States, is just, oh, gee, it's so full on at the moment, isn't it, Fev? And have you noticed that it's really, a lot of celebrities get involved?
Yeah, they do.
I mean, there's a celebrity running
the
country.
Where were they when the vote was cast?
Well, it's, yeah, wow, very insightful comment. there are lots of celebrities that get very vocal to the point where now Kim Kardashian has called a meeting with Donald Trump at the White House.
She's going to be the first lady in 2020, isn't she?
To discuss prison reform. That could actually happen. What's that noise?
What?
I can hear the noise. I don't know. Sorry, that's really unprofessional. But anyway, so Kim Kardashian is called this meeting.
On, is it?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, but I can't even find my phone.
Okay, push on.
No, it's not. It's something over there with Byron. Now, Kim Kardashian's called this meeting to discuss prison reform. There is an argument to say why would the president of the United States sit down with Kim Kardashian of all people to discuss prison reform? Sometimes you like to say to celebrities, stay out of it.
Yeah.
Just stay out of it. Mm. Sit back. You don't need to. How on earth is prison reform affecting your life and your 20,000 Hermes bags? Like, how is that affecting you?
And interesting.
It is interesting. And talking about celebrities staying out of it, Fev, James Cameron, famous director, the Titanic.
Yes.
Other movies. What other movies has James Cameron directed?
A range of very
ones
big films.
Ones that you'd watch. A lot of action ones. Aviator, is that
Avatar was a big one.
The Aviator.
I'm a bad lip reader. I was lip reading Leon,
that's
executive
the purple
producer.
Dude, yeah? I haven't seen that.
The green, he's blue, actually.
Blue.
One of the best, funniest things I ever did on Sunrise as the entertainment editor was pretend to have watched Avatar.
Wow. How'd you go?
Very irresponsible. Well, Koshy was asking me all about it, and I bluffed beautifully.
You're very good at that.
He thought I'd seen Avatar. Never seen it.
Wow.
But James Cameron is in Sydney for some sort of exhibition of the National Maritime Museum. Anyway, he's now weighed in on where he thinks MH370 is.
Oh, come on.
Stay out of it. Not your problem.
Probably thinks because he found the Titanic.
What does it make sense?
Because he directed that
directed
movie.
Yeah, no, gotcha, for sure.
Fev did a great job.
Oh, no, the real life Titanic, you know, I'll pay that.